Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 2. Revelation, chapter 2. This blessed book is not about things that we don't understand. Now, there are some mysteries in this blessed book, but the scripture concerning this book reveals what this book is all about. It's about Him. Verse 1 of chapter 1 says, "This is the revelation of Jesus Christ." Everything that we consider concerning this precious book, if it does not honor Him, if it is not faithful to Him, if it is not truthful concerning Him, we missed it. We've been going through the letters that were written to the seven churches. And this morning I'd like to deal in both messages again, this one and the next one, with the letter to the church that was at Thyatira. Revelation chapter 2. This first message will be out of verses 18 and 19. The scripture begins and says, "Unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first." This letter, like all seven letters, was written to the pastors of these respective churches. Unto the angel, the Lord set forth last verse of chapter 1, "The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars of the angels of the seven churches," the pastors. The Lord set forth that. Word angel means the messenger. The messenger. Almighty God calls and instructs, teaches His church, His bride, His elect, through pastors. They are to feed the flock of God, the scripture says in Jeremiah 3:15, with knowledge and understanding. It is my calling, it is my responsibility. Almighty God has called me and placed me here, and it is my responsibility to seek the Lord's guidance and direction for the message of the hour. And I am convinced this is it. This is the message of the hour. This message that glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ unto the angel of the church in Thyatira. These pastors, they are to watch for the souls of God's church. They must watch as they that must give account. I must be faithful. I must be found faithful. I must tell you the truth. The one to whom I give account. I give account, number one, to Almighty God. I give account to you that know Him. When you hear the gospel preached, you're listening for the consistency of the glory of God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something. A believer knows when they don't hear the truth. They know it. I give account to myself, to my conscience. I must give account that I may do it with joy and not with grief. As under shepherds, pastors, the angels, the stars that are held in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ point the church, point the sheep to Christ. And they do so through the preaching of the gospel. This is how you're instructed. I preach Christ to you. I preach the glory of God in Christ. It's through the preaching of Christ that the Lord keeps His people and feeds them the bread of heaven. And this He does that they henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men. And the Scripture says the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now this letter, this is a faithful letter because it is from Him who is the faithful witness. That's what He said to John in Revelation 1 verse 5. I'm the faithful witness. Faithful. Faithful. Verse 18. Unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God. Therefore, whatever He says, it is to be trusted and it is to be obeyed. When John penned under the inspiration of God's Spirit in Revelation 1:13, he referred to the Lord as the Lord spoke. He said concerning the Son of Man, He was likened to the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot. Now here He says the Son of God, thus saith the Son of God. Son of Man, who is that? He revealed Himself to be God incarnate. God Himself. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. The Lord Jesus Christ is God. He's God. And the Word was made flesh. The Son of Man. So here the Scripture says concerning the one speaking, these things saith the Son of God. Here is God Almighty, His deity, He's God. Son of Man, He's set forth as the mediator of His people. The one who associated Himself with them, made flesh, real flesh, real flesh. That's flesh. That's flesh. He was made flesh, yet without sin. A body was prepared Him that knew no sin. As I've told you before, I'm getting older. You are too. The reason we're getting older, reason we hurt, reason we ache, the weather changes, it affects us. We feel it. You know why? Sin. But a body was prepared Him. He knew no sin. But He aged like we do. He hurt like we do. He felt. He thirsted. He hungered. He wept, Scripture says. But He knew no sin. Associated Himself with His people. Made Himself to feel the infirmity of His own. But here the Son of God sets forth the one who is the sovereign God who rules in the army of heaven among the inhabitants of earth. The Scripture says, verse 18, who hath His eyes like unto a flame of fire, penetrating omniscience. Omniscience, that means He knows it all. He knows, He knows what I'm thinking. He knows what you're thinking. He knows exactly what we're thinking. He knows all things, eyes of fire. The Lord, 1 Chronicles 28:9 says, the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. He knows. We're not hiding anything from Him. Think we are. We're hiding nothing. The Scripture says, and His feet are like fine brass. Burnished is what that word is. Setting forth Him who is the strength, the purity, the holiness of all. His ways pure, holy, dealing with men. Here is the only true God. Isaiah 44:8 says, "Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God, that is no rock. I know not any." And if God doesn't know any, there is none but Him. Verse 19, He said, "I know thy works. I know your charity, your service, your faith, your patience, and thy works in the last to be more than the first." The Lord, who hath eyes like unto a flame of fire, He takes notice of the graces that He Himself bestows. He said, "I know thy works." Now, when it comes to works, if we're going to be truthful, the Scripture says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us." So I'm going to tell you something. If there's any works that started with me, they're self-righteous. They're self-righteous works. But, you know, not by works. But He says here, "I know thy works." And He's going to name them in just a minute. So whatever these works are that He sees and beholds and approves of, I can tell you this, they came from Him. They didn't start with me. Everything that I do, everything you do, is tainted, is sinful, is rebellious. Almighty God, keep me from standing before God and pleading my own works. Because I'm telling you, I've read in Matthew 7 some that did. And stood before God or tried to stand before. Every time I hear about somebody saying, "Well, I tell you what I'm going to do when I stand before the Lord," I'm going to tell them, I'm thinking, you're speaking as a foolish. You're not going to stand before God and tell God anything. Almighty God has spoken, and it is. But here He says, "I know thy works." I know. I see. One who has eyes is flaming fire. He said, "I know your charity. I know your love, your affection, your benevolence. I know your love for me. I know your love for Christ. I know your love for His people, for His gospel. I know love." I'm going to tell you what Scripture says about love. Love is that which Almighty God has set forth as being the mark of His people. They love. 1 John 5:1 says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth Him that loveth Him also that is begotten." Everyone that believeth that Jesus is the Christ. I'm going to deal with this thought out of 1 John 4 in the next message. So I'll refrain from going into the depth that it deserves, because Lord willing, I'll do it next service. "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is the promised Messiah, the one in whom the Father gave His elect, the one who has ever stood as the surety. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. All who are born of God love Him that is begotten of the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ." 1 John 4:20 says, "If a man say, 'I love God,' hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen?" I just jotted down a few minutes ago, love. What do we mean when we say love? Love. That's such a, what a broad statement. Love. I know this. I'm gonna give you some scripture to back up what I'm about to say. Love is more than a little candy-coated smile that we call love. I had a dog years ago. I love my dog. But is that love here? Love. What do I mean when I say love? How is love manifested? I know two ways that love is manifested according to the Scriptures. Number one, in a giving. Giving of self. And secondly, is by being truthful. Truthful. Love is manifested concerning Almighty God and God's people. First of all, in a giving. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. And as I've told you before, that does not mean the whole world without distinction. It does not. I can prove that. Number one, the word means the arrangement. God loves the order of man. He loved the world. If the Lord Jesus Christ loves everybody without distinction, why in John 17:9 did He say, I pray not for the world, but I pray for those that You've given Me out of the world. The world is not universally loved by God Almighty. You'll say, well, Marvin, are you saying that God doesn't love everybody? I'm telling you exactly. How do you know that? Because the Lord said that. I know that He didn't love Esau. He said, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Someone would say, well, I just don't think that's fair. And then my reply would be from the Scriptures, who art thou, O man? Out of Romans 9 that replies against God. Who am I, Pat, to be a judge toward God? Who am I? I'm a voice. And I am a repeater of what God Almighty has to say. So love, I know, has to do with giving. God so loved the arrangement of man. There's some men and women, boys and girls, sitting in this congregation this morning. Amazing creatures. Creatures that have been given, number one, an intellect. But it takes more than intellect to know God. It takes a new man. It takes a new heart. It takes a new spirit, a new mind, a new love, a new will. The Lord said, I'll give you that. You must be born from above. Born again. But here's an amazing creature. We're marvelously made. According to God's grace, He gives His people the capability to know Him. No other creature is given that capability. Oh man, God loved the arrangement. He loved the order of man. That's what He said. When God so loved the world, I know He didn't pray for all of them. I know He said, John 17:9 said He didn't pray for them. But I'll tell you this, God loves the arrangement of man. But what did He do? God so loved the arrangement that He gave His only begotten Son. And whosoever, I've said before, people say, you don't believe in whosoever. Yes, I do. Whosoever believeth on Him should not perish. How are they going to believe unless God gives them a new heart, though? How are they going to believe unless Almighty God gives them a new spirit? Why? Because I'm born dead. Spiritually dead. I'm blind. When Adam sinned against God, all capability of fellowship with Almighty God was lost. That's what He told Adam. In the day you eat, you take one bite. and you're going to die. Jared, he took one bite. Mankind died by one man's disobedience, or by man's one disobedience. Many were made sinners. All have sinned, come short of the glory of God. So I know this. Love is manifested in giving. Giving. Giving of self. Listen to this. John 15:13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now I'm going to ask you something, and you just answer for yourself. Now I jotted this down just a minute ago, just before I got up here. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now there's a lot of people in this congregation this morning. And we say we love. We love one another. Let me ask you this. And you just answer for yourself. I'll answer for myself. And it's extremely convicting. Is there anybody in this congregation that you wouldn't die for? Love is manifested by telling somebody the truth. You know, if you don't love somebody, you don't care if you lie to them. I don't care. What difference does it make? I don't love you anyway. That's the attitude. Love is manifested when you'll tell somebody the truth, even if they hate you for it. But speaking the truth, Ephesians 4:15, speaking the truth in love. Love for God, love for God's Word, and love for the eternal soul of the one you're talking to. Speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things which is the head, even Christ. Daryl, you don't want me to lie to your kids. You don't want me to lie to them. The only thing that's going to set a man free is the truth. That's the only hope we've got. God Almighty, speak in truth through a preacher. The truth sets a man free. And I'm telling you, to love you, I must tell you, you can't. You don't have the ability to please God. If I'm going to be truthful, if I'm going to love you, I'm going to tell you. God Almighty has set forth that God has a people He's going to save. And He's going to save them through this message right here. The message of God's sovereign, electing, redeeming, quickening grace. I've got to tell you the truth. If I lie to you, I don't love you. The truth. The Lord says, I know thy works, your charity, your love. Love for Him, love for His Word, love for His Christ, love for His people, love for His gospel. Be truthful. I don't want you to hate me, but I must tell you the truth. Anybody that tells you that you can do something to please God is lying to you. Not by works of righteousness that we've done. He said, I know your service. The word service there means the attendance to the ministering. I know your attendance to the ministering. It seems to indicate their commitment to the ministry of the gospel. They were committed to the spread of the gospel. They were committed. We've got people that are missionaries and others that we support and we pray for. And the attendance to the scriptures and the love for one another and the sensitivity to one another. There was a sacrifice that the Lord saw. A sacrifice of their self, their time, their resources, their money. They gave. I was reading last night. Go back. It's the last chapter of 1 Chronicles. We were just reading it. I was reading it last night. And how the people just, their hearts were just, there was going to be a building of the temple. David wanted to build the temple, and God wasn't going to let him because he said, you're a bloody man. Much blood was shed at your hand. Your son, Solomon, can build it. You can't build it. And the people gave. And they just gave. And I mean, it was amazing to see the generosity of people. God's people are generous people. They give. He said, I know your service, your attendance to the ministering. There was a sacrifice. They weren't selfish people. God's people are not selfish people. He said, I know thy faith. Here's that grace without which no man pleases God. Faith. Faith. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Without faith, there's no believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Without faith. Faith. That when he says without faith it's impossible to please God, we must believe on Him. Listen to this, John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son, he that leans upon, trusts, not in himself. Not in himself. He that believeth on the Son hath. He already hath. He doesn't believe in order to be saved. God saves him in power, in grace. Then the man believes. What comes first? Life. I'm like Brother Henry. I don't know how you separate it when life, faith is there. But I'm telling you, no man believes till God gives him life. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life. He said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. And it says, he that believeth not shall not see him. Won't see him in mercy. See him in judgment. Won't see him in mercy. Shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Now there were some that truly possessed faith to believe God, and the Lord saw it. I know it. He said, I know thy patience. Patience, your constancy, your endurance under the trial of their faith. Those who are by the grace of God given charity, love, given a heart for their service, given faith, those are the ones that you will normally find are the most tried. Most tried. I got to thinking about the scriptures references to those in the Old Testament who went through some real trial. I mean, I was thinking about Abraham and Moses and how the Lord raised up this man, put him over all of those people, led them 40 years through the desert, that wilderness, and time after time after time after time, they raised up their heads in rebellion against Moses and accused Moses. Moses was trying to tell them what God had said, and they just accused Moses. And, you know, what have you done? You brought us out here. Then they accused God. That's who they were accusing. And they hated him. As so many times, Korah stood up before him. Korah told him, he said, you just take too much on yourself. You take too much on yourself, Moses. Who you think you are? Moses said, get your censer. Show up here tomorrow, and we'll let God answer this. And they did, and God did. God opened up the earth and sent them all to hell alive. Closed up the earth. You say, boy, I tell you what, man, if anybody saw that, they'd never open their mouth again against God's man or against God. How long did it take? The next day. The next day, they started accusing Moses. And here was this man, and he, trials, tribulation, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. You bow down to this idol that I've made, I'm going to throw you in that furnace. And they said, well, our God's able to deliver us. If he doesn't, well, be it known unto you, we're not going to bow down. And I threw them in. And God preserved them. He said, I know your patience. I know your endurance under tribulation. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. James 1:3 says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith, God gives a man, a woman, a heart to believe God and trust God, sovereign, God Almighty in His majesty and divinity. Believes Him, believes the gospel of free grace, looks at himself and sees it's just right here. Everything that is, comes out right here is dung. That's what Scripture says, loss. He's worthy. He's worthy. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith, that you'll be hated for. People will hate you because you believe that, preach that. Worketh patience, endurance, that peaceful resolve of heart to the will of God. And then he says in closing, and thy works. And the last to be more than the first. Now look, he started off in verse 19, he said, I know thy works. Then he says, and thy works at the end. The last to be more than the first. That second time that he said, I see your works, it indicates a maturing of God's people. I see your works and I see your works. A growing in grace. 2 Peter 3:18, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A man, a woman that grows in grace, I tell you how they grow. Down. Down. Almighty God humbles in peace, humbles His people. I must decrease. He must increase. A growth in grace. Listen to a man or woman talk. Listen who gets all the honor and the glory and the praise for their salvation. And you'll find out what they know about grace. Pride, self, put down. The more we're convinced of our helplessness and our lack of understanding what we received from the Lord, the more we realize it was by grace He taught me that. I didn't deserve that. I didn't deserve that. I jotted down this scripture. I said, hear the words of one that the Scripture reveals to have grown in grace. Isaiah, before, you've heard this said before. He was always saying, woe is you. Woe unto you. Woe unto you. And in the year that King Uzziah died, he said, I saw the Lord. I saw God high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. And above him, the seraphim. And with their wings, they flew. Two wings, they covered their faces. Two wings, they covered their feet. And this is what they cried. Holy, 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 holy. And this is what Isaiah said when he saw the Lord. Now here's a growth in grace. Then I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King of hosts. The Lord said to the church at Thyatira, I know, I know, I know your works, I know your service, I know your patience, I know your works, last to be more, the last, those in quality is what it is. It lasts to be more. More in quality. It's always an encouragement to behold a tried and proven believer. Ones that God Almighty has put through the trials, the chastisements at the hand of a loving God, merciful God. It's always an encouragement to me to behold. I think about some of these men and women that have gone before us. You think about them. Those that suffered for His sake and for our good and instruction. Lord, teach me for Christ's sake.